You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Okay, the Dodgers traded Kendrick to Philly really to make Howie Kendrick happy. He wasn't happy being a platoon player and being moved off to second base. I think he was less upset about playing left field than he was about the fact that he became a platoon player as the season dragged on. The Dodgers didn't get a whole lot back, but they did take $10 million off their payroll that they can redirect either to use to re-sign free agents Justin Turner or Kenley Jansen, or even to upgrade at second basers, rumors of Ian Kinsler. So this is maybe just the first trade in a series of others to replace not only Kendrick somewhere in the outfield and maybe at second base.
Well, the trio of awards represents reflects why the Giants continue to emphasize on pitching and defense. Of course, playing at AT&T Park, both those factors are important. Every team wants to be strong up the middle, and the Giants have that with catcher Buster Posey, second baseman Joe Panik, and shortstop Brandon Crawford winning these Gold Glove awards. Brandon Crawford is steadily becoming one of the most watchable, I guess you'd say, players in the major leagues. For those of us who are lucky enough to get to see him every night, he seems to make an impossible play, every evening, every game. And I think more and more people are noticing that. Joe Panik, his double play partner, is a little different, not as flashy, but extremely steady, and he is capable of making the highlight reel type play as he showed in the 2014 World Series when he dove that ground ball and made the flip to second base. Catcher Buster Posey now, he has steadily improved each year with his defense. He broke in with as Rookie of the Year in 2010, known mainly for his offense. But that was a tall order to unseat Yadier Molina, who had won 8 straight Gold Gloves, and Buster finally managed to do it this year. Well, reportedly, Mark Melancon is going to visit the Bay Area this week. I hope he doesn't do it today. It's awfully foggy, although the fog is starting to lift. But seriously, now they're going to have to be aggressive. There are 3 premier closers out there who are available: Aroldis Chapman, Kenley Jansen, and Melancon, and they're going to have to. So just with the laws of supply and demand, they're going to have to act fast if they want to get a winning bid in with one of these 3 guys. I don't know if it would matter that much which of the 3 they get. They pursued Melancon before the trade deadline, so they may have a little favoritism, I guess you'd say, toward him, a little bias, a little leaning toward. But I think they'd take pretty much anybody right now. Their bullpen just didn't round into form, into shape last year, with the lack of a closer, and they need that kind of anchor to help them get off on the right foot this year.
Zach Greinke was not quite Zach Greinke on the mound last year. They're not the one we're used to seeing, at least as far as his ERA and some of his other numbers. He was hampered by injuries and struggled at times, but one thing that was very Zach Greinke-like was his defense, as he once again won a National League Gold Glove for that this past week. Greinke never let whatever was going on the field affect that defense, and he's always been an outstanding athlete, somebody that probably could have played a regular position had he not been such a good pitcher. So no surprise there as far as his Gold Glove winning. One of the things that has been talked about with him this offseason, and that we did ask General Manager Mike Hazen about at the General Manager's meetings, was would he consider trading Greinke this offseason? There's been some speculation about that, given the amount of money that Greinke is set to make and almost a third of the Diamondbacks' payroll. And it sounded like from what Hazen was saying that the Diamondbacks right now fully anticipate that Greinke being back next year. So it doesn't sound like, unless they're overwhelmed with something, that they're looking to trade their ace during the offseason. Paul Goldschmidt hosted a charity bowling event this past Friday to raise money for Goldie's Fund for Kids, which benefits Phoenix Children's Hospital. That's a cause that has been near and dear to both Paul and Amy his wife Amy, their hearts since they came to Phoenix in 2011. It was really impressive the number of people that showed up. It wasn't just current Diamondback teammates, though they were there, but you also had people like Luis Gonzalez. You had former Diamondbacks like Justin Upton, now with the Tigers, and people like Miguel Montero, another former teammate who's now with the Cubs. It just kind of goes to show you the kind of respect that Goldschmidt has throughout the league. The Rocky shortstop Trevor Story showed up for it. Seemed like everybody had a really good time, and they raised some money for the new wing of the Children's Hospital that they're working for that will treat blood disorders. So all in all, it was a great night for the Goldschmidts who raised quite a bit of money to help Phoenix Children's Hospital. The Diamondbacks continue the evolution, as they call it, with their uniforms. Last year, they unveiled all the different uniform combinations, a very unique look. And one of the things that they realized right away was that the kind of faded gradation of color that they had on the calves of the uniform pants just weren't working. They looked quite a bit different when they saw it on computer models as opposed to the way players nowadays wear their pants kind of baggy. So they're going to get rid of the coloring there on the calves of the pants, and they're also going to have the stripes that stopped about three-quarters of the way up the leg. They're going to go all the way up the leg now like most teams have them. And the only other change that they're making is they're changed the way the coloring on the back of some of the uniforms look so that people can more clearly read the names and numbers that sometimes got lost with the way they had the design going. So the evolution, as they like to call it, with the uniforms continues. So the Padres played host to Pedal the Cause this weekend, a really, really cool event, which it's been around in San Diego for about 4 years now, but it's the first year that Padres and Pedal the Cause have partnered to form Padres Pedal the Cause. They've always kind of been involved, but this year the two organizations actually partnered. It was a great success. I spoke with Jay Indovino yesterday, who's the executive director of the event. He said he expects to raise $2 million by the time fundraising is over. Fundraising will end at the end of November. So essentially what Pedal the Cause goes toward is research is cancer research, and it's kind of spread out to a couple different places in San Diego. And the gist that I got from talking to Jay was essentially that this is one of the prime San Diego events. It's kind of the epitome of what makes San Diego great: the community coming together and kind of using the Padres to springboard into something that really will benefit the entire world. So it was a big success. I know Trevor Hoffman was there on Sunday. He rode in the 12-mile race, and riders obviously a lot of times ride for people. He was riding for Tony Gwynn. Andy Green was there. So the event on the whole, I want to say, had 1,500 riders in five different races. It started and ended at Petco Park. So really just an example of the Padres and the community in San Diego kind of coming together for a great cause. As for moves, off-season moves, baseball-wise with the team, one of the key areas is shortstop going forward. And I think we kind of got the sense that the Padres have Luis Sardinas at short entering the 2017 season. We've gotten the sense that they want someone to at least come in and compete with him for the job. That isn't to say they don't view Luis Sardinas as their 2017 shortstop, but that's more to say, hey, we're not comfortable going into the season with him as our only option, which makes sense because if you look at the Padres' 40-man roster right now, Sardinas is their only option to start the season at shortstop. Jose Rondon is not quite ready yet. They have a number of prospects in the minors who aren't ready. And so they just want to bring someone in who can compete for the starting job at shortstop. Sardinas put up some nice numbers at the plate. The question is, can he sustain that success throughout an entire season? We don't know the answer to that. The Padres did something interesting this offseason. They asked him not to play winter ball. It'll be the first time he hasn't played winter ball. They want him to bulk up. They want him to add strength. They want him to maybe work on his footwork because that seemed to let him down a few times at shortstop last season. I think Sardinas has a chance to be a very good rangy defensive shortstop if he can hone his mechanics and hone the mental side of the game. There were a few times last year where Andy Green expressed some desire for him to take charge more at shortstop, especially with holding runners on base. So he has the tools to become a very good defensive shortstop.
He is not there yet. They would like him to focus on some of the finer details this offseason. Obviously, the Padres in the last week took a pretty big blow with the news that Colin Ray will miss the entire 2017 season because of Tommy John surgery. That news is not entirely unexpected. I talked to some people. Essentially, they thought it was basically a coin flip as to whether he'd pitch in 2017. It was also a no-lose situation. They found out in July, or I think it was early August, actually, that he had a partially torn UCL, and they tried to rehab it. Colin Ray got a couple second opinions, and who thought, hey, you know what, maybe we can rehab this thing, and you'll be back in time for the 2017 season. Well, if that failed, if that didn't work, then as long as he had Tommy John surgery somewhat early in the offseason, he would miss the entire 2017 season just as he would have in August. So it was really a no-lose situation for Ray to try and rehab. And for about a month, month and a half, everything seemed to be going smoothly. He progressed to throwing bullpen sessions from a mound. And then earlier in November, I guess something, he felt some discomfort in his elbow. And at that point, the Padres didn't want to risk having him miss parts of 2016, 17, and 18. So they made the call that I think a lot of people expected, given it's a partially torn UCL. You don't see many pitchers come back from that without Tommy John surgery. As for the Will Myers contract extension talks, that's something that I think the Padres have opened them. AJ Preller said last week at the general manager's meetings that he would be speaking with Will Myers' agent. It's not something that they're in a great hurry to finalize. Will Myers entering his first year of arbitration this year, so he will. Padres obviously have a lot of team control left, but it's something that the Padres view Will Myers as a cornerstone of this team. And so if they can extend him by a couple seasons past 2019, which will be his as of right now, which is his free agent season, if they can extend him past that, then they kind of mesh Myers' prime with some of these young prospects that they've acquired in the last year coming into the organization. And I think that infusion with talent, they're going to need someone like Myers who's been around for a while, who kind of represents the organization to maybe lead that ship. And that's the way they're viewing this whole process right now. So they'd like to extend Myers. It's not something that they need to get done right away, but the two sides are talking.
Talked to Nolan Arenado today when he announced that he was going to play for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. And it had been a tough decision. He and I had been talking about it really since toward the end of the regular season. He was thinking about Puerto Rico, which is where his mother is from, and he was eligible to play for them. But ultimately, Team USA won out. He had always wanted to represent Team USA in a tournament, and it had never happened before. There was a time when he was a bit younger where they had called, but it just didn't seem to work out at that time. But now that he's established himself as one of the stars of this game, a couple of all-star appearances, 4 gold gloves, 2 silver sluggers, definitely a desirable player for Team USA, and he ended up choosing them. He said it was very tough telling Puerto Rico no, because he has a lot of affinity for Puerto Rico with his mother being from there.